From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Letson. Reveal reporter Trey Bundy has been after a batch of secret documents for more than 2 years, and now he's closer to them than ever before. He's in a law office in San Diego and standing just a few feet from some of those documents.
Are they in this office?
Yes.
And can you show them to me?
No.
That's attorney Erwin Zalkin. He represents victims of childhood sexual abuse by members of a global religion, the Jehovah's Witnesses.
All I can really say is we have the documents. I can't say what's in them. I can't even reference how many of the documents, how much, numbers, or anything like that.
Erwin got the files as part of a lawsuit against the Jehovah's Witnesses. So while he can look at them, he can't show them to anyone else, not even the police.
We literally have to keep those under lock and key.
The Jehovah's Witnesses only turned them over on the condition that they remain secret. A judge agreed and ordered Erwin not to share them with anyone else. So here's why that's dangerous. You see, these files could contain information about thousands of child abusers within the Jehovah's Witnesses, predators living freely in communities across the country. So how has this religious group managed to keep these documents and the secrets they contain under wraps for almost 20 years? That's what Trey set out to learn. He picks up the story back in Erwin Zalkin's San Diego office. Before I get going, I should tell you that this episode deals with sexual abuse and might be disturbing for some listeners.
Come on in. Jose, why don't you have a seat? Let's talk about your case a little bit. Let's see where we're at.
Erwin is talking to one of his clients, Jose Lopez. As a kid, Jose was sexually abused by a Jehovah's Witness. They're combing through documents in a small, generic conference room at Erwin's office. They're discussing what could happen with Jose's case. Jose's in his 30s, and you can hear from his voice, he sounds anxious.
Yeah, Mr. Zalkin, I had a question. Yeah. What do you think is going to happen after the judge comes forward with her decision?
Yeah. Well, I think that that there's a good chance that the Watchtower is going to file an appeal.
The Watchtower. You're going to hear us use that term a lot. That's the name the Jehovah's Witnesses have for their global headquarters in Brooklyn. Jose says a man named Gonzalo Campos abused him. Gonzalo was a Jehovah's Witness in San Diego. Jose says Gonzalo groomed him for abuse during Bible study sessions.
One time, he sat me in his lap and, you know, kind of showed me the book and was talking to me, socializing, you know, being friendly. That's how I really saw it, as him just trying to be more close and friendly with me.
But it went much further. Gonzalo sexually abused Jose, who was 7 years old at the time. By the time this happened, Jehovah's Witness leaders already knew Gonzalo had been abusing kids. We know that because local elders admitted to it.
I just think they should have, the Watchtower or the organization, I think they should have contacted the authorities and, you know, had this guy behind bars.
But they didn't. Here's Erwin at a news conference about the case.
The Watchtower and its agents, elders of the congregation, its local congregation, Linda Vista, Spanish congregation of the Jehovah's Witnesses, knew that they had a dangerous child sexual predator within their organization.
And not only did they fail to call the police, they actually promoted Gonzalo to the position of elder after they learned about the abuse.
While at that time, that entire time frame, he was abusing at least 8 children that we know of.
Erwin knows the abuse happened because Gonzalo admitted to it during a court deposition back in 2011. We have a tape from that deposition. In it, the Jehovah's Witness lawyer is interviewing Gonzalo through an interpreter.
I had problems with for having tried to touch him inappropriately.
And when you say tried to touch him inappropriately, you mean in a sexual manner?
say yes.
Okay. Did the elders talk to you after this incident had taken place?
I remember that they did.
So local leaders knew Gonzalo had abused kids. They reported that to Jehovah's Witness headquarters in Brooklyn, but not to the police. Years later, though, many of Gonzalo's victims did turn to Erwin Zalkin. He'd made news for taking on another religion over child sex abuse, the Catholic Church. Back in 2007, Erwin negotiated a $200 million settlement for more than 100 people abused by clergy. He started getting calls from people saying they had been abused in all sorts of institutions, like universities and the Boy Scouts. About a dozen of them came from ex-Jehovah's Witnesses. Erwin prepared to fight a new opponent in court.
When you, as a human being, see the amount of harm that abuse, in particular sexual abuse, does to a child, it derails them for the rest of their life. It is an intrinsic, insidious injury that they will not get over. It will be with them forever. And it impacts them at every stage of their life. And it's horrible.
When he's not in court, Erwin looks more like a college professor than a lawyer. Slim, with glasses, wears jeans to work. He's soft-spoken when he's describing the intricacies of a case. But get him going on child abuse, and his voice drops like a sledgehammer, a perfect tool for cross-examining witnesses. Listen to him explain the way Jehovah's Witnesses handle child abuse.
Keep your mouth shut. Do not go to law enforcement. You come to us first. Don't you tell anybody. You never tell another congregant. You don't warn parents in the congregation. We'll decide what happens here.
Because the abuse isn't reported to police when it happens, most of the abusers are never prosecuted and never go to jail. That's because the statute of limitations has run out. The Jehovah's Witnesses' secrecy around child abuse is part of their religion. They say the Bible tells them to keep authorities in the dark about child abuse. This is probably a good time to explain more about this religion. Jehovah's Witnesses consider themselves Christian. Part of their faith is spreading the word of God to others, knocking on doors, warning people about Armageddon.
Sickness and death. Poverty and disaster. How could a loving God be responsible for all of this? What the Bible says may surprise you. It says, the evil one controls the whole world.
That's from one of their preachings. When they say evil one, they mean Satan.
The good news is, the Bible says things will not always be like this.
Armageddon is coming. To earn their place in the afterlife, Jehovah's Witnesses are taught to avoid the outside world. They don't vote or serve in the military, and they usually don't go to college.
Where can we find answers? What if the answers have been there all along in the Bible?
They say the Bible teaches them that child abuse, is a confidential matter. We know this because we have their memos. They read like a mashup of corporate policy and Bible verse, and they tell elders to hide child sexual abuse from police. Here's what they tell them to do. First, when elders learn about abuse, they have to immediately call the Watchtower's legal department. No one else, not law enforcement, not other members of their congregations.
Written, demanded, commanded policy. Very different. The Catholic Church, it was this unwritten. It was, they called it viva voce, by voice only. They didn't have it written down anywhere. It was just understood. Here it's in writing. I mean, there's no question.
Second, when an elder learns of a child abuser in his congregation, he has to send a report to headquarters in writing.
And so these reports were to be prepared and sent to Watchtower in a sealed, specially marked, confidential blue envelope.
And that's what I'm after. These are the documents I've been stalking for 2 years. Almost two decades worth of records that show the names and whereabouts of what are likely thousands of child abusers across the U.S.
I think the fact that there are known molesters that are participating in congregation activities where there are children involved and parents who aren't aware of that is a high-risk situation.
I actually got a hold of one of these documents a couple of years ago. It's a simple one-page form with 9 questions, exactly like the documents Irwin has now.
So, for example, they wanted to know, how long ago did he commit the sin? What was his age at that time? What was the age of the victim? Was it a one-time occurrence or a practice? If it was a practice, to what extent? How is he viewed in the community and by the authorities?
While Irwin was working on the Jose Lopez case, he got an idea. If he could get his hands on what's inside all of those blue envelopes, he might be able to show that his cases pointed to a massive cover-up. So he went to court to get the entire database of child abuse documents. This is where the Jehovah's Witnesses really dug in. First, they said the job of compiling the documents was too big for their offices to handle.
Honestly, Mr. Zalkin, the efforts that we've made up to this point is just trying to figure out how on earth we could ever do that in our filing system.
That's Richard Ash, a senior Watchtower official. He wouldn't talk to me, but he had to talk to Irwin as part of a lawsuit. This is tape from that deposition.
You're talking about 14,400 congregations and over 3 million documents that have been scanned in that would have to be searched. It would take years to do that.
Irwin believed Richard was just making excuses to withhold the documents, so he brought in a software expert. That expert testified that the Watchtower should be able to search their files in as little as 2 days. The judge ordered them to produce the documents.
They refused. They just simply refused to do it.
The Jehovah's Witnesses fought the order all the way to the California Supreme Court.
And the Supreme Court, I mean, in a matter of days, just turned around and said, no, produce. They didn't. They defied the trial court. They defied the Court of Appeals. And they defied the California Supreme Court. They willfully refused to produce the documents.
This is not normal. A defendant in a lawsuit just flat out refusing an order that's been upheld by the state Supreme Court. So Irwin had a choice. He could ask the judge to hold the Watchtower in contempt of court, or he could go big and ask the judge for something called terminating sanctions. That's where the judge throws one side out of court and decides the case solely on the evidence of the other side.
In other words, we win, period.
Irwin's plan worked, and the judge awarded Jose Lopez $13.5 million. Irwin talked to reporters about the decision.
Documents that go back decades that shows the depth and the breadth of their knowledge of child predators within their organization, child molesters within their organization. They refused to produce those documents. And for that reason, they were sanctioned by this court and their defense was terminated.
I mean, obviously they're appealing that.
They did appeal that.
But still, that's a lot of risk. They're risking $13.5 million not to produce these documents.
Right. Yeah, they did. They took that risk.
And it's a risk they took again in Irwin's next case. This time, it cost them $4 million.
They've made a business decision not to produce these documents. And that case got terminated, too. And it's on appeal.
It looked like this was their game plan. Hide the child abuse files at any cost. If necessary, pay millions of dollars in judgments, but don't let anyone see the documents. Then, something kind of unbelievable happened. The Jehovah's Witnesses gave in. In Irwin's next case, they agreed to hand over the documents. They'd finally cracked, and Irwin would get the files. But when they started rolling in, something was wrong. The names of all the alleged abusers were blacked out. And Irwin only got 4 years of documents. There were another 15 years he was supposed to get. He went back to the judge, who demanded that the Jehovah's Witnesses turn over all the documents with the names. They refused, and the court ordered them to pay a fine of $4,000 a day until they comply. It's crazy to think that an organization hiding crimes against children could just thumb its nose at the courts like this, but so far, the Jehovah's Witnesses have gotten away with it. They're a multi-billion dollar corporation, so maybe millions in damages doesn't scare them.
I think that on some level, they're aiding and abetting these perpetrators. It's a public safety issue. I mean, at this point, this needs to be investigated.
Irwin isn't giving up, but he has hit a wall. This is a guy who for years has wanted nothing more than to expose the Jehovah's Witnesses child abuse files. And now that he's finally got some of them, he's legally bound to hide them from the public, from me. A while back, he called me after work to tell me how his cases were going. He said it was getting to him that he was sitting on so much horrible information, so many documents describing the abuse of children. He sounded tired.
It's frustrating. It's very frustrating to have seen what I've seen and to know what is going on in this institution, in this organization. It's very frustrating when I've got a gag in my mouth. You know, it's pretty hard. You know, we're trying our best to expose this truth. And they're doing everything they can to interfere with that effort, you know, to block that effort.
Right now, Irwin has 18 lawsuits pending against the Jehovah's Witnesses, and he's back in court on the Jose Lopez case. An appeals court ruled that the judge should not have kicked the Jehovah's Witnesses out of court without trying a less extreme method for getting the child abuse documents. Irwin still wants those files, and so do we. We'll get back to that later in the show, but first, how can a religion with 8 million members keep everyone quiet about child abuse?
I had been told through the whole proceedings, don't speak of this, it's a confidential matter. The congregation doesn't need to know this, and if you talk about it, that's grounds for disfellowshipping.
What disfellowshipping means and how the Jehovah's Witnesses use it when we come back on Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.